he can go.
So sick of this guy.
And a touchdown.
To the 10, he will score.
It's time for the Bumper to Bumper award-winning NFL prediction segment on The Fan. Brought to you by Continental Diamond. Now, to help you break down this week's games, here's your favorite NFL wonk, Dan Barrero.
I got a word of warning for you today.
Yeah, what you got, Danny?
I'm not in the mood for your jackassiness today. Okay, just a word of the wise. You hung up on us from time to time. Be prepared that we might hang up on you today. So try to keep the jackassiness down to a minimum.
Can you define what that would entail?
Look in the mirror, man.
The music, first of all.
Yeah, you've already done it with the
what,
stupid
can't
music.
Have my music?
It's just predictable.
Why can't I have my music? Well, you guys are really sad now.
No, it's not even about being sad. It's
sad that the season's over.
We're just tired of you.
You're tired, I think. I think you're tired of the losing. I think what you do is you see me as a symbol of excellence.
Yeah.
And
because you've made all those plays.
Of winning.
Yeah.
And then you look at yourself and you go, we don't have anything. We don't have anything in our lives. And Kyle has lots of things. And don't be jealous. It's bad to be jealous. No, always try to be positive.
Can
you do that?
No, I don't think I can because you...
Why?
Because you forever have pretended that the excellence of the organization you root for somehow means you're excellent. And it doesn't mean that.
It could be the other way around.
Oh, my God.
It could be that our excellence as owners is what helps make our team
great. Oh, my goodness.
Can you prove that it's not?
What advice would you have as an owner for the Wilfs who own the Minnesota Vikings? What should they do to fix what ails the 2021 Minnesota Vikings?
Well, Dan, you know, I don't like to be presumptuous.
No, not you.
And, you know, say what I think. I think you got to give your guys more chances.
Mm.
I'd say 5-10 more years. If they don't get it fixed the next 5-10 years, then I think you should maybe look at maybe replacing one of them.
God, you are snarky.
What do you mean?
That's snarkier than anything I've said in the last 2 weeks. No.
What, you know what the problem with America is?
What is it?
Listen, everybody thinks it's going to be, everything's going to be okay tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to replace the football coach and it's going to get better tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to replace the president and it's going to get better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't just, you have to work at it. You just, by doing it, people are not willing to put the work in to make things better.
Okay.
We are. Think about how much we do every year.
Right now,
you know what I'm doing, Dan?
What are you doing?
I'm working right now real hard. We have an awful lot of senior scouting, plus there's a whole bunch of juniors that are going to declare for the draft. We have to get reports done on all those people.
My God.
Plus, I'm confident that some loser teams could take one or two of our coaches this year because we are very good. And so we have to start scouting for other coaches and finding and getting recommendations. That stuff doesn't fall off a tree, Dan. I know because the people in Minnesota don't do any of that. They just think that it's just something that somebody in a big building.
You know why you don't want the Vikings to make any changes? The real reason, if you're being honest, for once in your life? Because you love the status quo. You think it ensures the likelihood that the Vikings will continue to barely be a thorn in your side. That's what you're really telling us. You don't want any change because you love the current condition of the Minnesota Vikings. You can't get enough of the current condition of the Minnesota Vikings. That's, if you're being honest, that's what you really mean when you say, sign them up long term. Give them lifetime deals.
Yep.
You didn't deny it, did you?
Where are you sending these reports, by the way?
Goody?
Send it to Goody.
Yeah. Yes.
We have the VIP owner inbox. Not just every owner has that.
How did you get it?
Every owner.
Well, how did you get it?
Was that Goody that just texted you?
You have to have a good volume of quality input. So if you're like...
Or pictures of Goody
every
in
day,
compromising positions.
They want you to go to a separate inbox.
Yeah. You believe that, huh?
Look, Dan, I have been given many, many thank yous along the way.
Hey, are you worried about your guy?
It never hurts to say thank you.
Are you worried about your guy?
You don't ever say thank you, do you, Dan?
Rarely. Are you worried about... Let me ask you this. Let's say, for the sake of argument, you take on the Tennessee Titans in the Super Bowl.
Possible. Tennessee's okay.
Do you like Jordan Love's chances to bring home the trophy?
First of all, I don't believe he's our starting quarterback.
Well, he would be on that day, according to several very legitimate sources.
Some goof in New York City.
Boomer Esiason.
And then a website that hates the Packers.
Boomer's no goof.
Pro Football Talk just hates the Packers. It's the guy who does it is a Vikings fan.
Who's
he's
that?
On your radio station.
Mike Florio?
Yeah, he's a huge Vikings fan.
He is?
He's on your station every week. I know you don't listen to your station. I mean, you listen to, like, I don't know what, probably NPR.
NPR, yeah.
You know.
All I'm saying is Boomer Esiason usually is pretty plugged in, and he's the source.
He's a goof. He's in New York.
Boomer's a goof?
He just wants clickbait.
You're not worried, are you?
No, I'm really not.
I think you should be.
What do we have to worry about? Honestly, can I just list off some names for you?
Sure.
David Bakhtiari. Elton Jenkins.
Two.
Jair Alexander.
Three.
Josh Myers.
Four.
Terdell Middleton.
It was a long time ago.
Okay? Najee Davenpoop.
No.
Mark Chimura.
Six.
Darius Smith.
Six.
I mean, these are all pros. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys are all pros. We lost Aaron for a game. We lost Aaron Jones for multiple games. We lost Kenny Clark for multiple games. We have guys who are hurt. Guys that are all pros who are not playing for us. You know what I mean? They're not in the game.
And yet?
And guess what? Do you know what our record is? I bet you do.
13-3.
You are right. 100% right. Good for you guys. I'm really, you know what? I think it's pretty cool.
What's that?
I think that what's pretty cool is that even after your team's been eliminated, you guys still pay attention. That's cool.
You think it is?
That shows you guys have potential.
This is your third straight year of 13-3.
Yeah. By the way, do you think that Coach Matt is probably, we can list him as one of the all-time great coaches in the league?
No.
Because no other coach in the league has ever had 13 wins in their first three seasons.
That's correct.
That's right. Don't you think that's great?
Yes, but that doesn't make him one of the great all-time coaches.
He's got more wins than so many other coaches already.
How many playoff wins does he have?
Okay, it takes time. You got to build up to it.
I see.
He's got to win a Super Bowl this year. Well, the guy, what's sad is you know it.
You got a lot of heat on you because if you underachieve again with home ice advantage and you don't get to the Super Bowl, your club's going to be under siege.
From who?
From everybody who knows anything about football. That would be called underachieving.
Oh, you mean that let's say we win this week, which we will, although, you know, we don't have to. Let's say we win 14, and do you think that's somehow a failure?
Yes.
Without Bakhtiari and without Jair Alexander, you think that's a failure?
Well, at some point.
You have
one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. It's got to pay off again eventually, or else you've wasted him.
I didn't think you liked him that much. I didn't think you thought he was that good.
Oh, that's barking up the wrong tree. We've never had a problem acknowledging the greatness.
The greatest quarterback in the league?
Second greatest.
But he's the greatest.
No, he's second.
No, he's not.
In the pinch, in a clutch situation, Brady's better.
Tom Brady is terrible.
Brady is better in a clutch situation.
They have a pretty okay defense there, but Tom Brady is terrible.
Did Tom Brady have home ice advantage last year in the playoffs? Or
pretty
did
good before
no,
the
he
half.
Did not, but did he also he had all the referees on his side?
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah, at Lambeau?
Well, it's okay. Look, Dan, I understand. There's two ways that you can feel better in Minnesota. One is if your own team wins a lot. That would make you guys happy. But that doesn't happen. So what's your other way that you make you happy? You tear other people down to make them bring them down to your level or as close to your level as we can get. But I get it. That's just not... It's such a bad way to live your life. Why do you want to live your life?
By the way...
Don't you want to be successful?
The Gerby's Lock of the Week is going to be the winner.
Let's go.
The winner is going to get a pair of tickets to see the Vikings Bears battle it out for second place in the NFC North.
That's a big deal, people. Think about that. Yeah. That's what you guys had to look forward to. Yeah. Think about that.
Why don't we start?
That's a slobberknocker.
Why don't
Oh boy, that's a meeting of two titans right there. That's gonna be great.
We're going. Hey, all the starters are playing, man. We're not messing around.
Well, heck no. And think about how many stars that would be if you got them all out there at once.
Wow. No, I said starters, not stars.
Oh, stars?
Yeah. No, starters. You said stars.
Everybody's got stars, Dan.
Yeah, well, but I mean, as in like our regular starters, we're not giving any
quarter. We're not sitting anybody.
No, we're not
sitting.
Fans are going to get their money's worth. We're going after this one.
That's great. That's super. I think it's great when you try your hardest. I really do. People should admire that.
Guy, you're such a Richard.
Why? I'm being nice.
Oh, my God.
You just accept that I'm nice.
Why don't we start with the lock of the week? Let's do it first.
It's Carl Kerbschmitz.
Oh!
Lock of the week.
What do you got for us, Kirby?
It's not as lock as last week was.
Well, don't apologize for your pick, your prediction before you make it.
I was right last week, by the way.
Okay.
So it's a big prize on the line here. We need you to deliver.
These are good ducats, I heard, too. Vikings-Bears.
Well,
as if there's such a thing as bad tickets to this game.
Do you realize how hard it is for me to not crack wise right now? I'm not going
to. I handed it to you. I'm not going to deny it.
But here's the deal. I don't have to.
No, you
don't. I think everybody can tell themselves their own little joke about this game.
Not sure wise is the word I would use.
I think in this case, you're looking at two teams. Playoff teams, they don't really care that much, and they have a pretty low over-under number, so I think the defenses will rest a lot. 49ers and Rams. The over-under is only 44.5. We'll take the over in the 49ers and Rams game over 44.5. That's Kirby's lock of the week.
It's Carl Kerbschmitz. Lock of the week.
For next year, can we eliminate all that hoo-ha that a guy does?
It's possible.
He's kind of makes himself sound kind of odd.
If you tweet out the Gerby Lock of the Week with the hashtag Gerby Lock of the Week and what that lock is, you qualify to potentially win a grand prize, which today, as I said, will be tickets to Sunday's Vikings Bears game at the People's Stadium.
I'm not saying if you put like a really nice picture of the Green Bay Packers in there, your chances are better. I'm not saying that.
Well, no, that's illegal.
A lot of people would probably want to put a nice picture.
That's illegal. That would be against FAA and FCC regulations.
Yeah, and you have nothing to do with picking
and you
the
have
winner.
Zero to do with it.
But,
so
yeah,
don't even
course,
pretend
yeah,
that you do.
I have nothing to do with it. You don't have to put it in there.
Look at
you
these picks. This is for the regular season champion.
This has been a good year for all of us.
Is still in question going into the last week. I was 3-0 last week to get to 29-19. Gerby was 2-1. Is at 28-20. Gardzi went 1-2 after the week before going 3-0, 28-20 for you. So one game separates all three of us. We'll start with JG and the Chargers game. Chargers, this is a win and you're in the playoffs game, basically.
Yes.
Literally. Chargers on the road in Vegas, favored by 3.5 points. Over the Raiders.
How about the Raiders with all the turmoil they went through, losing their head coach,
that's true.
Everything there, to have an opportunity.
Think about all they, that's impressive.
That said,
God, you're high.
I believe in Justin Herbert. I believe in the Chargers. I will, and I believe in their coach who's, speaking of cracking wise, waxes nostalgia every week and gives us something to think about outside of football. And he coached at St. Thomas once for a minute.
That's what really matters to you.
So I'm taking the Chargers.
Carl, what do you think?
I think that it comes down to the Raiders at home. It's not Monday night, but it's Sunday night. And they're a dog at home. But here's the thing. I just think that Oakland really I can't call them Oakland. Las Vegas really did the best they could, but they're not better than the Chargers. So it's only 3.5. I'll take Chargers.
Ooh, this is – now how do I play it?
Yeah, you give us. You could dagger us.
Do I play it to
don't
win?
Don't you think, Dan? You should just pick the games and not try to say, "Well, how can I just beat Carl?"
Yeah,
that's not what this is about.
No, you're right. It should be. I should.
Just tell people what you think.
I should present. I should pick on the basis of integrity, shouldn't I?
Yeah, good luck with that.
I have a
Dan do all the same picks we do this week.
I have a sneaking suspicion that even though everything you both have said is true and that the Chargers are a better team, that the Raiders at home are going to at least cover. I just have a strange sensation about it, and I don't even like the Raiders that much, despite what they've dealt with and that they've kept themselves afloat. I'm going to take the Raiders to cover. Game number two.
Again, on this, I just want to repeat, on the Gerby Locker, you don't have to put a Green Bay, nice picture of the Green Bay Packers in your tweet. You don't have to do that.
Stop influencing our listenership. Rams at home, favored by 4.5 over the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, this was the lock of the week.
Gerby? Well, that was, yeah, that's a different issue. But go ahead, Gerby, or Gardzy. Gerby, whatever your name is. one of the G names.
We've unraveled.
Yeah.
Rams, my guy. This is my team to go to the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford.
How many pick sixes we have in this game?
Probably two. Yeah. I think they're still going to cover, though. Rams.
Who's starting at QB for the Niners? Do we know?
Kyle Shanahan does, but he's not telling anybody.
Oh, so he's keeping it under wraps.
Keeping it under wraps.
Now both teams are already in, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Am I wrong? Are the Niners? The Niners still have to clinch. I should know that. I haven't done my research. Ooh, that was a cheap shot there. Oh man, the Rams. Yeah, you know what? They probably will bounce back. They're the weirdest team in the league. I really like their defense, by the way. That's why they're going to be a threat, and they might even be a threat to knock you off, Carl, in Green Bay, because the defense is legitimately good. The QBs is just a mess to me. 4.5. I'm going to take the Niners to cover.
I'm unfortunately taking the Niners to cover as well, so I feel bad because I should go the other way, but I'm to take Niners.
Might be an opening for Gardzy.
Could be a Gardzy opening.
There's
for sure.
There's going to be some drama here in the picks this week. I like it.
And here's the big one. Here is the big one. Man, I can smell this game today. I wish we were playing it tonight or tomorrow. God, I'm looking forward to this one. Vikings favored by 5.5?
Yeah, this is stupid.
5.5? Over the red hot Bears might be the hottest team in football right now. And they're even hotter because they know that the one guy who might have beaten them in this game, Justin Fields, ain't available.
Why don't you go first then, Dan? Let's just see if you have. Why don't you go first?
Well, no, that's not how we do it in the pick segment.
Why don't you just go first?
Well, first of all, I've already picked two different games from Gardzy and one different from you. I haven't exactly rigged it. Gardzy?
I can't even do what you did, which is fake interest for this game. I'm very thankful.
That's on you, then.
The Gopher women will be taking on Maryland at Williams Arena this game.
That might not be very pleasant.
But at least there's stuff on the line.
Let's pick that game.
Yeah, why don't you pick that game?
We probably should pick that game. I think the Vikings go out with a whimper in this era. That is what I'm feeling. I just don't think they're going to have it. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to cover. I think the Bears come in here like they've done, it seems like, every year, last week of the season, and handle Minnesota.
Carl?
The thing is, I think that there's enough going on in Minnesota with all the turmoil surrounding the management and the quarterback that I think that just to make it even more difficult, Minnesota is actually going to win this game and cover. And matter of fact, I don't think it's going to be very close. So I will take Minnesota and minus the 5.5.
Really? You're wrong. As Glenn Mason would say, you're wrong. Not only will the Vikings not win, not only will they not cover, they are going to get destroyed by the monsters of the Midway. I know it's not going to make any sense. That it's the same allegedly Bears team that was so meekly submitted to the purple in Chicago not that many weeks ago. But believe it or not, lots of things are different right now. Vikings will not have anything left, no matter what they say. Bears have, for whatever reason, gotten excited the last couple of weeks. Their pass rush will get to Kirk. They will pound him. They'll end up with 6.5 sacks in this game. Bears will cover. Bears will win. it might not even be close.
So now, I would just like to point out that I was the one guy on this show that was picking the Minnesota. That's it.
You think that says it all?
It says that, first of all, number one, that I am objective. I'm very objective.
You're objective.
And you know, you said you're going to hang up on me.
By the way, for the record, as I suspected, the Niners can miss the playoffs. The Niners need to win. I think that's another reason to think that game is going to be close. And the Rams, at this point, I don't think have, other than trying to figure out their offense and their QB, quite as much to play for. So I think the Niners will, that's another reason to think the Niners will cover. In any case, we're very late. We'll try to get caught up. We'll prepare for Guessling later this hour. Lavelle in the 5 o'clock hour. Top 5 at 5, a lot of good stuff as well.
The Fan.
I was so sure of myself.
They're in. If the 49ers lose, they can still get in. If the Saints lose or tie to the Atlanta Falcons, is the way I understand it. So they do have most surely something to play for. I think the, I guess I'll double check the time of that. I don't know what the time of that, if those games are taking place at the same time. 49ers-Rams, I assume, is a late game Sunday.
Yep.
Saints, Falcons, I think they might be on at the same time. I'm not sure. We'll double check that as well. So I don't think they'll have that advantage.
They will be on at the same time.
Same time for that. And I think they plan things that way that you can add to a little bit of the drama. A-Raj apparently is aware of the reports out there from Boomer that he is considering boycotting the Super Bowl because of some issues with the COVID-19 protocols and testing at the bowl. And I guess one of the quotes in one of these stories, I don't know if it was the Boomer version or somebody else's, is, quote, he, as in Rodgers, has told Jordan Love to be ready. And Rodgers, in his latest tweet, leads with that quote.
Be careful.
And then offers up a series of, you know, teary laugh emojis.
Yep.
And then, how many of these hashtags can I read?
Not the first one.
Can't read that?
Well, I don't think so, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
Or is it the second one, the one you're thinking of?
But everyone has the F word in it.
That's the second one.
Okay.
But I'm worried about the first one, too. Look at the first one, because that might be Power Trip Morning Show material, too. Second one, yeah, is dumbest bleeping story ever. Then hashtag fake news. Then hashtag boycott fake news. Then hashtag boycott bums. Then hashtag boycott shoes.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like wearing shoes.
Is that code? Hashtag boycott waterfalls. Is that obscene? And I'm going to hear about it later?
Probably.
Then hashtag boycott AJ smoking cigars. Then hashtag boycott LaFleur's Browns. And I'm worried about the last one, too. I don't know. A-Rod,
I think hashtag direct circle, you can say.
I can say that?
Well, I think it's just someone in his direct circle. I'm assuming that was in one of the stories.
Okay. Well, you throw the word circle in there, and I get worried.
You never know.
Because you never know where there might be
never
code
know
for something else. I have to say, on this one, I tend to agree with him that it's more than strains credulity that whatever he thinks of the protocol and whether he thinks that they're making it up as they go along, you know how A-Rod is on this thing. He's the smartest guy in the room when it comes to the whole vaccine controversy, that it would be ludicrous on its face. I'd have a difficult time, even if I trusted my source, going public with this because it's so preposterous on its face. I guess if you only care about the clicks and you care about garnering attention, that's okay. But at what price in this case? So, for whatever it's worth, A-Raj is mocking and ridiculing the notion. And quite frankly, the danger I see in making an issue of this by, like, somebody going public, including Boomer, and saying, well, I got a good source on it, is more than anything else, it helps Aaron Rodgers' victimhood campaign. You're handing him ammunition. You're handing him fake news ammunition, right? You're basically giving him a free swing at a hanging curveball on all that sort of thing, that because he's very dismissive about a lot of media stuff. And in this case, the media would be at, or this media outlet would be asking for it, as far as I'm concerned. Who in the right mind thinks he'd get to the bowl and then say, no matter what he thinks about the protocols, would say, going to make a point here, I'm not going to play in it. Not going to work. It's just, it's stupid.
Well, and when I said, that was my reaction the second I saw the headline.
Yeah.
Dumbest thing ever. I agree with Aaron Rodgers in this.
Hard not to in this case. So all you've done is given A-Rodge some fuel about the world's against me, and the media just likes to go with stuff and make some stuff up, and it's all nonsense. We'll come back with Ben Gessling. He's part of the problem. He's one of the ink-stained wretches. He's one of the media jackals. We'll catch up with him, and I can't wait for his Bears-Vikings prediction. I cannot.
Yeah, the fan.
Now, I'm looking at, as we reintroduce Ben Gessling to the conversation on the Connecticut Water Systems Hotline, I'm looking at Twitter, and there's a tweet from the co-host of Boomer and Geo. Boomer and Geo is the show. Geo is apparently Greg Giannotti. Am I pronouncing that right?
Could be.
Big time WFAN sports radio talk show. And they are
probably ahead of us in the Barrett Sports Media rankings.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
And as I'm looking at the tweet, and he's responding to all the discussion about the A-Rodge speculation that his guy Boomer apparently started. A-Rodge, as we mentioned last break or before the last break, now responding and mocking it and saying it's all nonsense, as I think most rational people expected from the beginning. Giannotti tweets this, Ben Gessling. This is from about 20 minutes ago. Before this gets even more out of control, here's more context to the text Boomer got about Aaron Rodgers. By the end of our discussion, we all came to the conclusion that we believed it was a prank. So I don't know if that's how they played it on the show, and then that there have been the other media outlets that have decided it's too juicy, it's too clickbaity to not go with it. Do you know sort of what the sequence of events here that led us to this ridiculous place on a Friday afternoon?
I don't. I mean, I saw the clip where Boomer was reading the text, and the text seemed almost too well put together to have come from a source that wasn't trying to plant something.
Right.
I mean, it was like in almost written in paragraph form, like, here's how the whole plot's going to go. It was like, you know, in a movie where the guy's like, Here's what I'm going to do. Here's my evil plot from the beginning to the end, and here's how the whole thing's going to go down. Hope you have a nice day. I mean, it seemed a little too well manicured to be true, but you know, it got Aaron Rodgers going, which doesn't seem like it takes a lot these days. But you know, if nothing else, it got them in the conversation.
So, I guess the key question here is, you know, I'm clicking on, because I thought a lot of the juice for this thing then was Pro Football Talk picking up on it. When they wrote it, I'm looking at the Florio story on it, and I'm trying to figure out if he plays it straight. Hub Arkish, here's how he writes it. Hub Arkish may have some company in the Aaron Rodgers absolute bum category. I've been there for about a decade, he writes parenthetically. You get used to it. Visit via the back after this Twitter account, Boomer Esiason shared this morning on his radio show a text from a source who claims Rodgers will threaten to boycott if the NFL doesn't eliminate some of the protocols. And as I'm reading through it, yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, he kind of plays it straight. It's written as if there's a decent chance, at least some chance, that this indeed might be true. And we were talking earlier, The problem with this going down the road it did is that it plays perfectly in Aaron Rodgers' victimhood campaign. It hands him legitimate material in this case to mock and ridicule and say, see how these clowns operate? See how ridiculous, how stupid this is getting? They think I'd actually get to the bowl, ascend to the Super Bowl, and then say, I'm not going to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that as a reporter, you sit there and say, it doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
It makes it harder for people to differentiate between those who are trying to just report what's going on and try to get to the bottom of what's happening as honestly and as truthfully as you can. And then you get things where it's a little bit more out on the fringes, and maybe he's got a source. I would be very surprised by this if this was true, but it does put more sort of grist in the mill of the Aaron Rodgers, everybody's out to get me sort of thing. But if he were to get to the Super Bowl, which given his record in NFC Championship games is no guarantee.
Excuse me?
I think you would be going in there saying, okay, if I win, I have more than Favre. I can say my legacy in Green Bay is the superior one. I can't imagine he'd go into that game saying, I'm going to sit it out.
And I did opine there was a chance. I knowing the way Rodgers sort of likes playing the game right now, I think he's kind of enjoyed some of this sparring. Was it possible that he might actually leak something like that, knowing that it's going to get public air, to make whatever point he might feel about that protocol? That would not shock me at all with Rodgers, because he's obviously has had very strong opinions about protocol and his belief that the NFL is kind of making it up as they go along, etc. But at no point, I think, should it ever have been taken seriously that he might hand the job to Jordan Love for the Super Bowl once he indeed got there. Unfortunately, that's what we're left with in this town. We're left with living vicariously through the adventures and misadventures of other teams and other quarterbacks and controversies out of this town because we got a lame duck game. We've played the Bears late a lot, but generally either we're both in the playoffs or one of us is in the playoffs and one of them might knock the other out of the playoffs. In this case, we're both out, but as odd as it sounds, I think the Bears will be juiced for this game and that the Vikings will not. Does your pick, your official pick, second that notion, or are you sticking with the hometown club?
You know, I haven't made it yet.
What?
I've been working on the Sunday story, so I still have to deliberate on this. So if you've got any kind of research that I should go off of, I'm open to it. It's an interesting one because, yeah, I was looking this up. This is the sixth time in 8 years they've closed with the Bears at home. It's actually the fourth time the Vikings have had nothing at stake. One of those was when they had clinched it in 2019, they were locked into the wild card. The other three times, neither of these teams had anything to play for, which was 2014, 2016, which was when we had the protesters swinging from the chandeliers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then the Bears actually scored the touchdown on a play that sparked the Philly special. The Bears' one touchdown in that game became the thing that Frank Reich put in the Eagles game plan for the Vikings in the NFC title game. They didn't use it. They didn't need it.
Yes, they sure did.
Well, let's throw it out there in the Super Bowl. So it's been those two and then this one where they've had nothing to play for. I think it's probably, I mean, I was going to pick the Vikings, but honestly, it's one of those where there are so many guys that probably have one eye on the offseason. It's a little hard to know who's going to be more motivated, especially if both of these coaches are on the way out. It's not probably the easiest one to get fired up for on either side of this.
No, it's odd, though, how teams can sometimes lie to themselves. And for whatever reason, the Bears have won two straight weeks. They won a game in Seattle where they made a big comeback in the snow. They played a horrific Giants team last week, but dominated. And they have, I don't even remember, I meant to look it up before we went on, their head coach, who's definitely lame duck, came up with some sort of a mantra, some sort of a saying, regardless of the position they're in, and they're all getting into it now, and their pass rush, by the way, is really good again. So my gut on this is that they've already owned up to the fact they're irrelevant. The Vikings are still feeling sorry for themselves about that. And to that extent, I have a hunch that the Bears are going to fake it better than the Vikings do in this particular ball game. But again, would I have put huge amounts of money on it? No, it's fun for the prediction segment, but it's just sort of an odd hunch. And frankly, Fields being out, I think, actually helps the Bears because Fields is not playing. He was not playing well before he got hurt, and then he had the COVID deal. They've actually gotten at least presentable quarterback play from either of the other two guys. So long term, that's meaningless. But for this game, I think actually might land them in good stead. Now, your Sunday story, can you give us a sneak peek? Is this going to be the cosmic, here's where we are, here's a moment in time, here's a weekend that will very much tell the, not just the present, but the future of the Minnesota Vikings franchise?
You you know the Star Tribune Sunday budgeting cycle very well, Dan. It's pretty much exactly what it is. It's sort of looking back at how did we get here. A lot of it is, as I was thinking about this today, they made a series of bets on this season, a series of assumptions, if you will, that, hey, if we do this, we're going to be back in the playoffs at the end of the year. It was, if we can add veterans to our defense, that's going to fix a lot of the problems. We're going to be able to be better up front with Danielle Hunter, Anthony Barr, Michael Pierce, all these guys coming back. And then on offense, we can just kind of have steady hands at the wheel. We can give the next Kubiak the offensive coordinator title, and we can go forward with the group that we have, and we'll be just as good as we were last year. And none of these bets have hit in a way that would put them in the playoffs. They have, to some degrees, some of them have been okay. Some of them have been probably less so than that. But they needed a lot more to get over the hump in a lot of these close games, and that's why they are sitting where they are. So, yeah, it's kind of a 30,000-foot level look at what got us to this point and then what kind of comes after that.
The betting money right now seems to be that Zimmer will coach his last game as a Vikings head coach on Sunday, but that Spielman is more likely to stay, that that's going to be the extent of the moves. Now, one of the questions on Spielman is, would he get moved to a senior, more ceremonial position that still might help him guide the Wilfs on who replaces him? Others saying, well, if he goes, he just might go, period. But if you're the betting man, is that what you're betting on, or are you still leery of even going that far?
That would be my bet, yeah. I mean, from what I've heard this week, I've talked to a couple people in the building that think that is certainly a possibility, that Mike Zimmer goes and that Rick Spielman ends up in a different job, either something ceremonial or something where he's got a little bit of still control, or at least influence, in the football department. Because the thing he has going for him, I think the thing he's always had going for him, is that he has been able to make the case to ownership, which is not in Minnesota every day, of, hey, I'm here, I've got my finger on the pulse of this thing, I've got a steady hand at the wheel, trust me, I'll be able to get you where you want to go, you don't need to worry about it, you don't need to come in and kind of have to micromanage in every little thing that we do, because I've got a consistent approach and you can trust it. So I think if he's able to go forward saying, yeah, maybe I'm not the guy to run the football department anymore, but I've still got value, I've still got connections at the league level, I know how this thing works well enough, I can still provide a worthwhile service for you in that type of role, I think there's a very good chance that's where we end up. I don't quite know how that works in terms of, is he picking the next GM?
Yeah, right.
Are you making him sort of like a team president, which doesn't quite jive with where Andrew Miller is at? I'm not quite sure how the flow of all of that would work, but I do think that Spielman has enough of a relationship with the Wilfs and has cultivated that over enough time that there's a very real possibility that even if he's not the GM, he's not gone.
Do we have a different sort of ownership problem here? You certainly can't suggest or come close to suggesting that this team or these owners have not been financially committed on a number of levels. The building of a new stadium, they got plenty of help, but they put some money, obviously, in the TCO Performance Center, salaries, et cetera, et cetera. We complain historically around the United States when it comes to pro sports ownership, the owners who it's their new toy and they want to dabble. They want to get really closely, very closely involved, sometimes to the detriment of the people who are making the football, basketball, baseball, hockey decisions. On the other hand, there is, I think, such a thing as being too detached and being too absentee-ish, even if you're writing all the checks. Does that apply to the Wilfs? Are they too detached? Because if you buy the Chip Scoggins column, One of the questions and concerns here is whether they would even know how to go about replacing Rick Spielman, which to me, if it's true, would be a hell. It's hard for me to believe it because it's not that tough to make five phone calls. But if it's true, to me, that'd be a hell of an indictment and maybe signs that these guys are they spend too much time in New York and New Jersey. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think that's going to be the big question here. And Chip's column, I thought, raised what is the big question you have to figure out is, are the Wolves ready to do this on their own, or does that insecurity about whether they can do it play in the hands of Spielman kind of continuing to be the guy? Now, they have been in charge of the team for, I believe, 16 years, and they have gotten more involved at the league level. They serve on a number of the committees among owners that allow them to build relationships, and you would hope would have something of a Rolodex of where to go. I would not be surprised if they use the old search firm if they do end up hiring a GM. They did it with Andrew Miller. I think they could end up going down that route to put some names on the table and kind of go from there if they decide to not keep Rick Spielman or not have Rick Spielman involved in the search for the next guy. But you do wonder sometimes if they're not here, if there is a detriment to that approach. And I think, I'll say to preface this, I think their approach is generally a very good one. The idea of let's put people we trust in
right.
charge,
yep.
let's give them the resources, and let's not meddle. I think everybody in any place you work would love to have that type of an approach. But this may be a moment where that doesn't get the job done. As Chip raised the point the other day, I thought was really well done. This might be a moment where you need somebody to step in and say, okay, no, it's time to hit a hard reboot on this thing. This is what we're going to do, even if it requires a little bit of our efforts to get involved and try to figure out what we're going to do next. And even if that's not something we've done in a long time, we've got to do it. It's time to make that step. And I think if you want to see the full reboot, that would be the question, is are they up to that? Do they trust themselves enough to do that? And do they decide we don't need any help getting there?
If you're the Vikings, would you consider, this is just for fun, a Kirk Cousins for Baker Mayfield trade?
You know, I think I would only, and this is not with Baker Mayfield being the long-term guy,
yep.
probably.
Just as almost a bridge.
Yes, because if you get rid of Cousins, you're probably going to need the bridge of some type
yep.
anyway. And Mayfield, I think, has 1 year left on his deal at like 18.5, if I'm not mistaken. So that would give you, and I think you may end up in a situation where you have to eat a little bit of the Cousins money to get somebody
right.
interested
yep.
in a trade. But the Browns have enough cap space, they could take on a lot of the Cousins deal. It would give them a guy that they could win with. Kevin Stefanski, of course, knows Cousins very well. He's been his quarterback's coach, been his OC, that whole thing. If I'm the Vikings and I'm saying I'm not going to be able to compete next year at a level that gets me to the Super Bowl or a deep playoff run anyway, and I've got to make a lot of decisions to get my cap spot, my cap picture back in shape, I think about it. If you've made the decision that next year is not an all-in year, and they've had so many all-in years here that you are seeing the bill coming due for that, but yeah, I think – if you know what you're getting, if you go in with open eyes, yeah, I think I'd think about that just because it gets you through. Maybe you hit on something with Mayfield, who knows? But at the very least, or at the worst, you're out a year and then you move on to the next guy.
I can't stand Baker Mayfield, and I would do that. I can't stand
yeah,
him. I don't like looking at him. I don't like him on commercials. I think he's nowhere near as good as he thinks he is. But because like I said, then you just have to sort of bite the bullet for you. And by the way, if you're lucky, he's got a streaky good year, and then maybe you got something to think about, and you enjoy that. But otherwise, you say, okay, we got 1 year, and then we figure, you know, out the long-term plans from that point forward. Harbaugh probably not coming here, we don't think?
I'd be surprised if that's it. I mean, it would be, I think, if you're going to do that, you have to probably get into that mix fairly early, and you have to have, I think, a GM that is going to be able to work with him. I mean, that was a lot of the issue, I think, with him and Trent Baalke in San Francisco. Now, we hear plenty about Trent Baalke in terms of how easy or not he might be to work with as well in Jacksonville. But it would take a certain person, I think, that's going to be able to come in and mesh with Harbaugh. Maybe I think the the hot rumor now is he ends up back with your team in Chicago, isn't it?
That is, well, that's one of the stories, because obviously they're trying maybe now to reconnect to old Bears. They've gone from running from old Bears too much out of fear to now maybe that's, we've tried everything else out. So now we've tried some interlopers. Now we're going to try to come back closer to the nest. So it wouldn't shock me if they'd be in the mix, because one of the questions there is the same as here, is the GM safe? And the latest stuff I read today indicates a new momentum that Pace is safe, that clearly Nagy's gone, but that Pace might be safe. I have no earthly idea why, because I think he's actually should be in worse shape, or should be in worse shape than Spielman myself. But, you know, we're back to what owners are thinking, and owners are weird, man. You know, depending on who they are and how families are set up, and that's a family situation, and there's a lot of weirdness, I think, with the whole McCaskey-Hallis thing.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing you always are trying to figure out, too, is the owners don't tell you a lot of what they're thinking. I mean, that's always the thing with the Wilts, is they're fairly private, they're fairly closed off, you don't hear from them very much, so you're kind of trying to read tea leaves and figure out where you're going to go. It would be interesting, I guess, if Pace stays, that, I mean, again, that's a difficult one, I think, to come in and feel like I've got to connect with Jim Harbaugh, who is a certain type of guy that you would have to hit it off with fairly quickly, when I can't imagine if you're Ryan Pace, you're going to be set for the next 5 years. I mean, you're not going to come into that thing knowing that your job is secure for the long term, but maybe if you feel like you can win, it buys you some time, and you think you can make something of that roster. Cause they need a lot of help on the offensive side of the ball. But if you like Justin Fields, and I don't know that we do yet, but there's still some pieces on defense. Maybe you can put the thing together. I guess I could see it, and certainly that connection to the old teams seems like it's coming up. Seems like it's come up to get Leslie Frazier's name in the conversation, frankly. But Harbaugh probably makes a little more sense, a guy that's certainly had a lot more success than Frazier has at the NFL level. It'd be interesting if he ends up there. I don't know that I quite see it here, though. I think that you're probably looking at a guy that is younger, probably offensively minded. You got to go find your Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur type. If I'm betting on the next person, I'm betting on somebody in that vein.
Yeah, and they better be in shape, because if you're in that vein, you got to be in you got to be chiseled. You got to be in really, really good. Got to be able to sprint the sidelines when you want to call a timeout. You got to look good. You got to be able to wear one of those tailored zippies and hoodies, and there's not an ounce of fat. There's not an ounce of fat on you at all. It's just, it's straight down. You don't see, there's no sense of like a stomach, a pot there. You know, it's it's special. That's, well, I think, a prerequisite now.
You know what the play is here for me is, you get somebody like that who's in shape.
Mm-hmm.
They like to get out and run.
Yeah, like you.
We go put 8, 9, 10 miles out on the road.
There you go.
We solve all the world's problems. Maybe you open your heart to me.
Yes.
Tell me what you're thinking on a lot of things. We get in shape together. I think it sounds like a great formula. You want somebody that takes care of their health. You want somebody that's in shape.
Yeah.
I think this is the way forward, frankly. I think we've just laid out the path to the Super Bowl.
Hey, by the way, we're running really late, but what's the difference at this point? Early in the who did the Vikings just play? Green Bay.
The Green Bay.
So the Green Bay, there were stretches of that game where it looked as if Zimmer's face was frostbitten. I mean, like both cheeks and the nose, and then it got better. Did somebody like get him Vaseline, or speaking of not necessarily being all that chiseled and sort of almost looking a little vulnerable on the sidelines, he looked awfully vulnerable in that game, above and beyond the result itself.
Yeah, I mean, he had a little bit of that Tom Coughlin look going.
Yes.
From that NFC title game that the Giants went in there and beat the Packers when it was frigid. I mean, I don't know what he did. He didn't. He hasn't really been in a mood to get into a lot of behind the scenes stuff this week. But
that's it.
It's. I'll say this. I can't imagine that when you're out there watching your team get beat like that in that weather, that's a whole lot of fun.
No.
I mean, if we want to have some sympathy for Zeb, that's a tough spot to be in, to sit there for 3 hours knowing you really can't do anything about it, and you're just so cold, and you just want to get inside and get out of there as badly as anything in the world.
I hope you have fun, because for Sunday should just be a game about fun. The results don't really matter. They want, the players want to have fun, to be loosey-goosey. I think it should be the same thing in the press box as well. But I won't see it, because I'm going to be watching at home.
You're not going to make the trip out?
No. I had actually thought about it, but no, I don't think so. It's too much work.
You know, it's I don't know that you'll miss anything that you couldn't get the full spectrum of at home. And
pretty much.
Maybe next year when things change and Jim Harbaugh's in there and you got the first place Bears.
might be very different.
That's the time you make your trip out.
That might be very different. Thank you, sir. We'll be reading and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Ben. That's Ben Gessling. Lots of big Gessling Sunday stuff coming in the Star Tribune as he attempts to put, I think, the whole situation in some kind of meaningful historical context, and he hasn't yet made his pick. I tried to influence him. I think this is a loser-proof game for the Monsters of the Midway, and I said it was loser-proof for the Vikings when they played in Chicago, but a lot of stuff has happened between then and now. Top five.